start to play.
Yeah, I was gonna do the same thing with the.
Where's Shelley tonight?
Somebody said she's not coming.
Shelley won't be here.
Where is she?
I think she's at Tahoe.
Oh, she got TRP this week.
I think so.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
She has one seriously clean tie, Mr. Mayor. I like
Hey, this is my little Christmas tie, huh?
I don't have a gavel. I can't start.
Well, I'll get over here next to you then. Shelley's not coming? How about if I do that, brother?
Do I get to shout, Tina?
Sure, you can.
She's my. Hey! Yeah, I got.
Holy smokes, we have a quorum tonight?
Hey, I got this one on.
When did they get it back? Probably mid-January. Been in there since.
They do good work out there.
They do really good work. Yes, they do.
Let's see.
Nobody brought a gavel?
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay, are we all ready to go?
Give me that glass.
The December meeting of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is called to order. It's Wednesday, December 14, 2011, and it's 4:31 p.m. We're in the Community Center, the Sierra Room, at 851 East William Street in Carson City, Nevada. The Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify CAMPO staff in writing at 3505 Bud Eye Way, that's the Public Works Department in Carson City, or at P. Pittenger, and that's P-P-I-T-T-E-N-G-E-R, at carson.org. Or call Mr. Pittenger at 887-2355 as soon as possible. He asked that requests be given prior to noon on December 12, of course, which is already we're past. So if you're interested, next month, for example, our meeting is on January 11. That means you'd have to notify Mr. Pittenger by January 9. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact the Metropolitan Planning Organization staff at 887-2355. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting material is posted on the CAMPO website, and that is at www.carsonareampo.com. And now for the agenda, item A, roll call and determination of a quorum. Kathleen?
Chairperson Desjardins?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Foltz, Member Aldean, Member Carpenter, Member Kroll?
Here.
Member Fierro?
Here.
Member Mallory?
Here.
Ex officio Member Taylor?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Okay, thank you. Item B, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the MPO may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the MPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Anybody want to make anybody from the public want to make a comment? Okay. Item C for possible action, approval of minutes. Any comments on the minutes? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the minutes of November 9?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of November 9 as presented.
Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Mr. Mallory seconds. All in favor of the minutes of November 9, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There are none. The minutes are approved. Next is item D, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. CAMPO may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and CAMPO may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Mr. Pittenger, do we have any changes to the agenda?
No, sir.
Okay, good. Okay, next item E, disclosures. Any member of the Metropolitan Planning Organization that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the MPO. Do we have any disclosures? Okay, I see none, so item E is complete. Next, we'll go to public meeting items, F. We have three items on the agenda. Two are for information, and item F3 is for possible action. So let us start with item F1, and that's information on the results of the Campo Traffic Signal Optimization Study.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're reporting that, we have completed the Traffic Signal Optimization Study, which was in the Campo Unified Planning Work Program for the last fiscal year and for the beginning of this fiscal year. I did provide a summary in this document, but to even summarize the summary, the project is complete. We did implement new timing plans, coordinated timing plans provided to us by our study consultant. We also made other improvements to the system, including modifications and to the red clearance, yellow clearance, and pedestrian clearance intervals. That's how long the lights are obviously yellow, red, how long the pedestrians are allowed to cross the street, to be consistent with current standards and guidelines. Following implementation, we got a lot of public input regarding how it was going. We evaluated it both with our technicians and engineers and also with the consulting engineers. And in the end, we did modify the signals further. Many of the plans returned to a state that was similar to their previous state in that they were not coordinated in the way that the consultant had recommended. However, what we ended up with was kind of a hybrid system wherein we meet all regulations and standards now. We made improvements in that way. But we found that the coordinated plans did have some positive impacts, but also had some negative impacts. And I can tell you that we've now returned to a state where the concerns being expressed by the motoring public have almost been eliminated. And we're in a state of good operation currently. And if you have any questions, I'd be willing to take them.
Okay, do we have any questions from members of Campo?
I don't know if this is a Campo question or not, but how about the traffic lights on College Parkway getting onto 395, where we had some concerns from people about, and I think the same issue was on Highway 50 about
And we did have a number of concerns. There was one, and please tell me if this is the one you're speaking of. There was an individual that was concerned that they it was not actually about the timing plans. They were concerned with whether the lights should be what we call balls, circles of red, yellow, and green, or if they should be arrows.
Right.
Is that what you're referring
to? That's
okay.
It. Excuse me.
Yes, that was actually not specifically part of the timing plan, but the individual was interested in having all of the lights turned into arrows. They pointed out correctly that at the bottom of one of the ramps in town, there were arrows instead of the balls. And after further review with our technicians and also with Nevada Department of Transportation senior traffic engineering staff, the decision was made to actually make them consistent with the balls and not the arrows, because the positions of the lights were clear enough to indicate which direction they were controlling, and because the traffic is coming down the ramps at speed, we wanted it to be as bright as possible with the circles instead of the arrows. So that's the
thank you.
That's the reason.
Thank you very much,
Patrick. I believe the mayor asked about 50. So a problem on Route 50.
That applies to all the interchanges in town, frankly.
Any other members have questions or comments? And do we have any questions or comments from the public? Okay, none coming. So I believe F1 then, which is a information item, is complete. Let's move on to F2. And again, this is an information item regarding a modification to the Campo FY12 Unified Planning Work Program.
Thank you. Yes, this is an informational item. One of the four federally required documents that Campo has is the Unified Planning Work Program that's provided on an annual basis and approved by both the Nevada Department of Transportation and the U.S. Department of Transportation. What we are reporting is that a minor modification called an administrative modification was made, and we're making sure that we inform you of that. This is similar to a process that we have for the Transportation Improvement Program. If there is a significant change, we have to go through a public involvement process. If we add a whole project, for example, but if there is a minor change to one of these documents, you can do an administrative modification. This is the first time we've done such a minor modification to the Unified Planning Work Program. This was reviewed and approved both, once again, by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Nevada Department of Transportation. But we are reporting to you just to follow protocol and make you aware. Basically, we needed additional funds for a work item 2.1, which is the update of the regional transportation plan, and we were able to add $10,000 to that project and subtract smaller figures from several other projects. It doesn't affect our work program at all, and it has a zero cost effect to the local share. So,
that's all. Thank you, Patrick. Just looking at your crystal ball, are we going to be able to spend all of this money by the end of the fiscal year?
Well, looking at, actually, we are well on track to spend most of the money. Frankly, in previous years, we have never spent every penny of the money that's in the budget. But it's better to go a little over than a little under. A little under than a little over. If you exceed, we're on the hook for it. If we go under, we can carry it over the next year. So I'm certain that we'll use most of it, but I can't say if we'll use every penny.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Patrick, NDOT, Nevada DOT has made the commitment that should there be any carryover money, barring such a case that we get a federal rescission directing us to do so, then that carryover money is going to be reprogrammed and added to next year regardless. Okay, so it doesn't really matter unless, again, like I said, we could get a rescission notice that directs us to do otherwise, but if we don't, then we're just going to add that to the next year's appropriations and move forward.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Taylor. It's interesting to note there's even talk again now in Congress of shutting down for a while, and so I think your comments are right on. Okay, any other members have comments or questions? Okay, any members of the public? Okay, seeing none. Okay, and that completes item F2, which also is a information item only. Next, we're going to go to F3. F3 is an action item, and again, this is for possible action to approve the proposed cooperative agreement for the regional transportation planning between Campo and the Nevada Department of Transportation.
Thank you. The Nevada Department of Transportation and Campo have previously had an agreement for the use of planning funds through the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Highway Administration, and we are currently in negotiations to have a new agreement in the future. This agreement is primarily for the current fiscal year, so that we have something in place to keep the reimbursements coming for our work and while we are negotiating a future agreement. And additionally, the Nevada Department of Transportation asked that it go for the previous year to make sure that they have all their ducks in a row for the previous year's funding. And we appreciate NDOT's work with us on this. They actually, I believe to the credit of Mr. Taylor, included an actual dollar amount in here for the amount of available funds. We very much appreciate that. So we ask for your approval of this document, and with the understanding that several months in the future, we hope to have a new one brought back to you that is a result of negotiations between the MPOs of the state and the...
And again, this is an information item regarding a modification to the CAMPO FY12 Unified Planning Work Program.
Thank you. Yes, this is an informational item. One of the four federally required documents that CAMPO has is the Unified Planning Work Program that's provided on an annual basis and approved by both the Nevada Department of Transportation and the U.S. Department of Transportation. What we are reporting is that a minor modification called an administrative modification was made, and we're making sure that we inform you of that. This is similar to a process that we have for the Transportation Improvement Program. If there is a significant change, we have to go through a public involvement process. If we add a whole project, for example, but if there is a minor change to one of these documents, you can do an administrative modification. This is the first time we've done such a minor modification to the Unified Planning Work Program. This was reviewed and approved both, once again, by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Nevada Department of Transportation. But we are reporting to you just to follow protocol, make you aware. Basically, we needed additional funds for a work item 2.1, which is the update of the regional transportation plan. And we were able to add $10,000 to that project and subtract smaller figures from several other projects. It doesn't affect our work program at all, and it has a zero cost effect to the local share. So,
that's all. Thank you, Patrick. Just looking at your crystal ball, are we going to be able to spend all of this money by the end of the fiscal year?
Well, looking at, actually, we are well on track to spend most of the money. Frankly, in previous years, we have never spent every penny of the money that's in the budget. But it's better to go a little over than a little under. A little under than a little over. If you exceed, we're on the hook for it. If we go under, we can carry it over the next year. So I'm certain that we'll use most of it, but I can't say if we'll use every penny.
Yes, Mr. Chairman Patrick, NDOT and Nevada DOT has made the commitment that should there be any carryover money, barring such a case that we get a federal rescission directing us to do so, then that carryover money is going to be reprogrammed and added to next year regardless. Okay, so it doesn't really matter unless, again, like I said, we could get a rescission notice that directs us to do otherwise, but if we don't, then we're just going to add that to the next year's appropriations and move forward.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Taylor. It's interesting to note there's even talk again now in Congress of shutting down for a while, and so I think your comments are right on. Okay, any other members have comments or questions? Okay, any members of the public? Okay, seeing none. Okay, and that completes item F2, which also is a information item only. Next, we're going to go to F3. F3 is an action item. And again, this is for possible action to approve the proposed cooperative agreement for the regional transportation planning between CAMPO and the Nevada Department of Transportation.
Thank you. The Nevada Department of Transportation and CAMPO have previously had an agreement for the use of planning funds through the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Highway Administration, and we are currently in negotiations to have a new agreement in the future. This agreement is primarily for the current fiscal year, so that we have something in place to keep the reimbursements coming for our work and while we are negotiating a future agreement. And additionally, the Nevada Department of Transportation asked that it go for the previous year to make sure that they have all their ducks in a row for the previous year's funding. And we appreciate NDOT's work with us on this. They actually, I believe to the credit of Mr. Taylor, included an actual dollar amount in here for the amount of available funds. We very much appreciate that. So we ask for your approval of this document, and with the understanding that several months in the future, we hope to have a new one brought back to you that is a result of negotiations between the MPOs of the state and the DOT. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. I did read in detail the cooperative agreement. Was there any changes from the last one on the agreement itself? Member Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And yes, there were. There are quite a few changes, actually. In past years, these agreements, and that's why we decided we need to make a major change. The agreements were developed, I want to say, back in 2007, 2008, the original agreements. They ran from anywhere across the MPOs, anywhere from 4 to 7 years in length. They were ambiguous. They were outdated. They needed work. So what we did is we sent these agreements to all of the MPOs, asked them to provide their comments. We have had numerous discussions, and that's where this agreement came from. However, in the process of doing those discussions, the old agreements did, in fact, expire. So we wanted as quickly as possible to get a new agreement in place so that any billings acquired between October 1st and the signing of the agreement before you and the approval would be covered and could, in fact, be reimbursed. Meanwhile, as a result of our discussions among NDOT and the various MPOs and the other MPOs, we have developed yet another new agreement that is currently being reviewed by the Federal Highway Administration and our Deputy Attorney Generals, incorporating the MPO comments and the collective agreements that we've all reached. That agreement will be coming before you ultimately after we get it finalized by the AG approved, and Federal Highways will have another sit down with the MPOs. If they agree, we'll initiate another agreement that will supersede the one before you that will carry for a longer period of time to give us time to develop yet another and ultimately the best agreement, which is going to be a cooperative planning agreement, which will not only cover PL billings, but it will cover billings and other appropriations and things of that nature. It's more comprehensive and more in scope and detail. So that's where we're working towards.
Member Taylor, do you have a, again, putting your crystal ball out, when we may see a final agreement?
What we are hoping for is sometime after the new year, where we'll have another sit down with the MPOs to go over the new version of the agreement before you. Then if we collectively agree that we all like the agreement, we will start initiating that. That's about a, 2 to 3 month long process to go through your legal and your signatures and vice versa. But that will carry us through for a 2 year time frame on that. It'll pick up where this, it'll supersede this one and run for probably 18 months to 2 years thereafter to allow us then time to sit down and start working cooperatively, on developing the comprehensive planning agreement among us and the MPOs. So I'm guessing March, April time frame at the latest, and then somewhere after there we'll have the new cooperative agreement.
Okay, thank you for that detailed report. Any other members have comments or questions of either Member Taylor or Mr. Pittenger on this item?
Ask Dennis a question.
Okay, Mayor.
Dennis, one, thank you for putting the dollars in. And I assume those are in Article 2 where the department agrees. The federal fiscal year, regardless of, I don't know if we have a federal budget or not on transportation. That's one question.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Mayor, yes, we have MAP 21. It was extended through March 31st. Unfortunately, as of last Wednesday when I checked, we have no spending authority. So, however, the money before you today contained in that agreement was previous to this MAP 21. So therefore, that money has been programmed and is currently available.
And that so that'll take us up through
September 30th.
September 30th of 2012.
Correct. And then after September 30th, there is a...
And the DOT. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. I did read in detail the cooperative agreement. Was there any changes from the last one on the agreement itself? Member Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And yes, there were. There are quite a few changes, actually. In past years, these agreements, and that's why we decided we needed to make a major change. The agreements were developed, I want to say, back in 2007, 2008, the original agreements. They ran from anywhere across the MPOs, anywhere from 4 to 7 years in length. They were ambiguous, they were outdated, they needed work. So what we did is we sent these agreements to all of the MPOs, asked them to provide their comments. We have had numerous discussions, and that's where this agreement came from. However, in the process of doing those discussions, the old agreements did, in fact, expire. So we wanted as quickly as possible to get a new agreement in place so that any billings acquired between October 1st and the signing of the agreement before you and the approval would be covered and could, in fact, be reimbursed. Meanwhile, as a result of our discussions among NDOT and the various MPO and the other MPOs, we have developed yet another new agreement that is currently being reviewed by the Federal Highway Administration and our Deputy Attorney Generals, incorporating the MPO comments and the collective agreements that we've all reached. That agreement will be coming before you ultimately after we get it finalized by the AG approved, and Federal Highways will have another sit down with the MPOs. If they agree, we'll initiate another agreement that will supersede the one before you that will carry for a longer period of time to give us time to develop yet another and ultimately the best agreement, which is going to be a cooperative planning agreement, which will not only cover PL billings, but it will cover billings and other appropriations and things of that nature. It's more comprehensive and more in scope and detail. So that's where we're working towards.
Member Taylor, do you have a, again, putting your crystal ball out when we may see a final agreement?
What we are hoping for is sometime after the new year where we'll have another sit down with the MPOs to go over the new version of the agreement before you. Then if we collectively agree that we all like the agreement, we will start initiating that. That's about a, 2 to 3 month long process to go through your legal and your signatures and vice versa. But that will carry us through for a, we'll put a probably a 2 year time frame on that. It'll pick up where this, where it'll supersede this one and run for probably 18 months to 2 years thereafter to allow us then time to sit down and start working cooperatively, on developing the comprehensive planning agreement among us and the MPOs. So I'm guessing March, April time frame at the latest, and then somewhere after there we'll have the new cooperative agreement.
Okay, thank you for that detailed report. Any other members have comments or questions of either Member Taylor or Mr. Pittenger on this item?
Ask Dennis a question.
Okay, Mayor.
Dennis, one, thank you for putting the dollars in. I assume those are in Article 2 where the department agrees. The federal fiscal year, regardless of, I don't know if we have a federal budget or not on transportation. That's one question.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Mayor, yes, we have MAP 21. It was extended through March 31st. Unfortunately, as of last Wednesday when I checked, we have no spending authority. So, however, the money before you today contained in that agreement was previous to this MAP 21.
So therefore, that money has been programmed and is currently available.
And that so that'll take us up through
September 30th
of 2012.
Correct. And then after September 30th, there is a 90-day grace period for billing because we realize that not everything goes second to second, that there's processes. So there's typically a 90-day grace period for final billing, invoicing, closeout, et cetera.
Good move. Thank you.
Okay. Member Fierro or Mallory have any questions?
I've got, got a question for Mr. Penninger. On the document, it's Article 3, subsection 5. It's the composition of CAMPO. Has that recently changed? I know I'm a new member to this board, and I was looking over that.
To answer your question, depends on your description of recent. There is no change proposed in this document. And Mr. Taylor, maybe you remember, I believe it was about 3 years ago that a change was made, and the only change that has been made, frankly, since the MPO came into existence was that the Department of Transportation was turned into an ex officio non-voting member. But I believe that's the only change, and that was several years ago. So there's no change proposed here.
That is correct. I believe it specifically read director or the director's designee is how, but close enough, because there is a formal letter that appoints me as the designee on behalf of the director to be ex officio. Yeah. And previous to what Patrick was saying, I was ex officio voting. Because we've added Douglas and Wyatt, I'm now ex officio non-voting.
And other than that, I just noticed a couple of grammatical things that I could talk to you after the meeting on.
Absolutely.
So thanks.
You don't have a question?
I don't have a question.
Okay, Mr. Wait a minute. Let's go to the public. Don't want to forget that. Any member of the public wish to ask questions or make comments on this particular action item? Seeing none, can I have a motion on this particular item?
I will.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the proposed cooperative agreement for RTC planning between CAMPO and the Nevada Department of Transportation. And Tina, is there not an agreement number on this or something? We always reference that in other motions. So is it PR 404-11804?
That is the agreement number.
Okay. And for $389,863 for fiscal year 2011, and Dennis, I hope these numbers are right, from my reading, and $250,370 for fiscal year 2012.
Okay, can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Member Kroll. Okay, with that, any further comments and so on? Not. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? None. The motion carries, and that completes item F3. Next, I want to go to agenda item G, future agenda items. Do we have any future agenda items from members of the board? I'm sure staff does, but any member? Okay. Mr. Pittenger?
The one item I think we'll have for sure is that is regarding the enhancement grant application process. The Nevada Department of Transportation, for the first time in a while, has put out a solicitation for the first submittal would be for a pre-application. NDOT has informed folks. We also informed both Lyon County and Douglas County, the Washoe Tribe as well as a potential applicant of the availability of this process. So we will be reporting on what we've asked that the pre-applications be submitted both to NDOT and to CAMPO staff, so we'll be reporting on that. And NDOT has also asked CAMPO and all the other MPOs to develop a process of prioritization of enhancement projects at the CAMPO level, so that and the and the point of that is for Campbell to actually have a hand in that prioritization process. So they want to see something documented. So we'll have those items before Campbell next month.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Pittenger. Any other additions? Okay, item H.
90-day grace period for billing, because we realize that not everything goes second to second, that there's processes. So there's typically a 90-day grace period for final billing, invoicing, closeout, et cetera.
Good move. Thank you.
Okay, Member Fierro or Mallory, have any questions?
I've got a question for Mr. Pittenger. On the document, it's Article 3, Subsection 5. It's the composition of CAMPO. Has that recently changed? I know I'm a new member to this board, and I was looking over that.
To answer your question, depends on your description of recent. There is no change proposed in this document. Mr. Taylor, maybe you remember, I believe it was about 3 years ago that a change was made, and the only change that has been made, frankly, since the MPO came into existence was that the Department of Transportation was turned into an ex officio non-voting member. But I believe that's the only change, that was several years ago. So there's no change proposed here.
That is correct. I believe it specifically read director or the director's designee is how, but close enough, because there is a formal letter that appoints me as the designee on behalf of the director to be ex officio. Yeah. And previous to what Patrick was saying, I was ex officio voting. Because we've added Douglas and Lyon, I'm now ex officio non-voting.
And other than that, I just noticed a couple of grammatical things that I could talk to you after the meeting.
Absolutely.
So thanks.
You don't have a question?
I don't have a question.
Okay, Mr. Wait a minute. Let's go to the public. Don't want to forget that. Any member of the public wish to ask questions or make comments on this particular action item? Seeing none, can I have a motion on this particular item?
I will.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the proposed cooperative agreement for RTC planning between CAMPO and the Nevada Department of Transportation. And Tina, is there not an agreement number on this or something? We always reference that in other motions. So is it PR 404-11804?
That is the agreement number.
Okay. And for $389,863 for fiscal year 2011, and Dennis, I hope these numbers are right, from my reading, and $250,370 for fiscal year 2012.
Okay, can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Member Kroll. Okay, with that, any further comments and so on? Not. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? None. The motion carries, and that completes item F3. Next, I want to go to agenda item G, future agenda items. Do we have any future agenda items from members of the board? I'm sure staff does, but any member? Okay. Mr. Pittenger?
The one item I think we'll have for sure is that is regarding the enhancement grant application process. The Nevada Department of Transportation, for the first time in a while, has put out a solicitation for the first submittal would be for a pre-application. NDOT has informed folks. We also informed both Lyon County and Douglas County, the Washoe Tribe as well, as a potential applicant of the availability of this process. So we will be reporting on what we've asked that the pre-applications be submitted both to NDOT and to CAMPO staff, so we'll be reporting on that. And NDOT has also asked CAMPO and all the other MPOs to develop a process of prioritization of enhancement projects at the CAMPO level, so that and the And the point of that is for Campbell to actually have a hand in that prioritization process. So they want to see something documented. So we'll have those items before Campbell next month.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Pittenger. Any other additions? Okay, item H, board comments, status reports and comments from members of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization Board. Anybody have anything on that item? Well, if not, we'll go to public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium and speak on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item and allowable under the open meeting law. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Next, Jay, can I have a motion for adjournment?
I move we adjourn.
Okay, do I have a second?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Mr. Mallory, okay, all those in favor of adjourning? Aye. Okay, Campo is adjourned until January 11, and next, I think Mr. Mallory is chairing the RTC meeting, and he will commence the RTC meeting in 5 minutes.
Hair's getting a little long there, Sabrina.
I know, I want it to be long.
All right, it's looking pretty good, though. That's all right.
But she's got a, you know, for her RTC stuff, she's got to roll it up.
That's good. Hey, Ray, good to meet you. Take care of Lyon County out there.
I was supposed to have a meeting at school, and it didn't happen. It's going to happen tomorrow, so I went by and got busy so you can see what, I don't know, do you get Navy Times?
Oh, I don't anymore.
There's a lot of good stuff in here.
Oh, shoot, is that, you have to subscribe to that?
Yeah.
Do we get it as retirees or not? Or we pay for the subscription?
We have to pay for it. It's really not that much, but I do get, well, Navy League, I probably get more information of use for
Navy
League.
Navy League?
Yeah. On.
Where'd you find it?
I got it. Jim's going to move it. See, you want to just stay there and I'll. Jim and I'll
yeah, okay, well,
spots.
Whatever. Okay. Switch? Did you already switch?
Yeah, she does. She already switched it.
Pretty fast. What's Sabrina's brother's name? What's his name?
Steve.
Steve.
Okay. His bio dad was also Steve. Not Steven, but Steve. So, you know, I left his birth certificate the same, so he's a junior.
Oh.
No middle. I don't know why. Never asked why Steve instead of like Steve or something like that. But it's different.
Yeah, different. Yeah.
He's this. You raise boys. I didn't. This is the first one I've had. I'll talk about different from all the girls I've raised. Oh my God. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they found it.
Yeah. I moved. I switched water, so I did. And he's. Interesting character. He keeps me on my toes.
I bet.
But you know, it's interesting. Sabrina is really tough on him.
I could see that in here when she walked in.
Oh yeah, man. I thought you wanted to talk about the queen bee.
See that.
And she,
I got two of my boys, my oldest son and my youngest son, are going to go climb Kilimanjaro. They're leaving Friday.
Oh, really?
And my oldest son's paying his own way, and I'm paying for my youngest. We're paying for our youngest son. You know, and I know what you mean about raising boys. I mean, I was telling my law partner earlier today that, you know, when they were growing up, my wife was worried about them. I was, you know, busy doing work, and I didn't worry that much about them. Now when they're older.
Board comments, status reports, and comments from members of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization Board. Anybody have anything on that item? Well, if not, we'll go to public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium and speak on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item and allowable under the open meeting law. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Next, Jay, for can I have a motion for adjournment?
I move we adjourn.
Okay, do I have a second?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Mr. Mallory, okay, all those in favor of adjourning, aye. Okay, Campo is adjourned until January 11, and next, I think Mr. Mallory is chairing the RTC meeting, and he will commence the RTC meeting in 5 minutes.
Hair's getting a little long there, Sabrina.
I know, I wanted to.
All right, it's looking pretty good, though. That's all right.
But she's got to, you know, for her RTC stuff, she's got to roll it up.
That's good. Hey, Ray, good to meet you. Take care of Lyon County out there.
I was supposed to have a meeting at school, and it didn't happen. It's going to happen tomorrow, so I went by and got busy so you can see what, I don't know, do you get Navy Times?
Oh, I don't anymore.
There's a lot of good stuff in here.
Oh, shoot, is that, you have to subscribe to that?
Yeah.
Do we get it as retirees or not? Or we pay for the subscription?
We have to pay for it. It's really not that much, but I do get, well, Navy League, I probably get more information of use from
Navy
League.
Navy League?
Yeah. On.
Where'd you find it?
I got it. Jim's going to move it.
Let's see. You want to just stay there and I'll. Jim and
yeah,
I'll
okay.
Switch
well,
spots.
Whatever. Okay. Switch? Did you already switch?
Yeah, she does. She already switched.
Oh,
it.
Pretty fast. What's Sabrina's brother's name? What's his name?
Steve.
Steve.
Okay. His bio dad was also Steve. Not Steven, but Steve. So, you know, I left his birth certificate the same, so he's a junior.
Oh.
No middle. I don't know why. Never asked why Steve instead of like Steven or something like that. But it's different.
Yeah, different. Yeah.
He's this. You raise boys. I did. This is the first one I've had. We'll talk about different from all the girls I've raised. Oh my God. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they found it.
Yeah. I moved. I switched water, so I did. And he's. Interesting character. He keeps me on my toes.
I bet.
But you know, it's interesting. Sabrina is really tough on me.
I could see that in here when she walked in.
Oh yeah, man. I thought I want to talk about the queen bee.
Yeah.
She,
I got two of my boys, my oldest son and my youngest son, are going to go climb Kilimanjaro. They're leaving Friday.
Oh, really?
And my oldest son's paying his own way, and I'm paying for my youngest. We're paying for our youngest son. You know, and I know what you mean about raising boys. I mean, I was telling my law partner earlier today that, you know, when they were growing up, my wife was worried about them. I was, you know, busy doing work, and I didn't worry that much about them. Now, when they're older, for me, man, you know, if they come to visit, I wait up all night to come, when they come home. You know, I don't know. It's just because I remember what I did when I was their age. I don't know.
Well, I've been honest with him. I can remember growing up on the farm when I was 11, 12 years old, some of the things I did.
Yeah.
You know, and I got on him. But I've been honest with you. I told him, yeah, I did those when I was your age, but that doesn't make them right.
That doesn't make them right. That's right. Hey, Dennis, did you see that your boss is one of the most powerful women in Nevada?
I work with her. I can attest to that.
She's there's a Nevada Business Magazine, I think it is. It's the recent Nevada Economy.
Okay.
It's out. I think there are, they highlight 20 people. Not bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have a teaser about that.
I'll bring a copy of it if I can. I'll shoot a magazine over to you. She probably got it.
Warrior Queen.
Merry Christmas, Dennis.
Patrick, is Russ coming?
Russ is on his way, but he said he's going to be late.
Okay, 15 minutes.
Okay.
He said he was going to be 15 minutes late, but that sort of depends upon when the meeting starts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think we've got a quorum anyway, as long as we
vote.
We've got a quorum.
Yeah,
good. Are everybody ready? I call to order the December 14th, 2011 Regional Transportation Commission Carson City meeting. The Carson City Regional Transportation Commission is pleased to make reasonable accommodation for members of the public that are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission staff in writing, 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701. Or P. Pittenger at carson.org, or call Patrick Pittenger, 775-887-2355, as soon as possible. Requests are required prior to 12 p.m. on December 12, 2011, or, as the previous chairman said, 3 days prior to the meeting. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact the RTC staff at 775-887-2355. Kathy, would you please do a roll call and determination of quorum?
Chairperson Aldean, Vice Chairperson Mallory.
Here.
Commissioner Carpenter, Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Kathy. Members of the public.
Mr. Chairman, I think that Member Aldean is at a Tahoe Regional Planning Agency meeting today.
Yes. Okay. She's excused then, is that correct?
I think that's what you're going to do. And I think that.
She always uses?
Yeah. Member Carpenter, I think, might be a little late, but we're going to go ahead and start anyway. But I guess this is a church call, but
okay. Thank you, Mayor. Item B, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the RTC may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the RTC. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item on the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody here that wishes to address this board under the public comment? Seeing none, we'll move to item C, approval of minutes.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes of November 9, 2011.
I second that.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Any member comments?
None.
Motion carries. Item D, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. RTC may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and RTC may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Patrick, are there any?
No, sir.
Item E, disclosures. Any member of the commission that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the commission. Is there any?
No.
Seeing none, we'll move on to item F, public meeting items. F1, information regarding traffic concerns on Edmonds Drive.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
For me, man, you know, if they come to visit, I wait up all night to come, when they come home. You know, I don't know. It's just because I remember what I did when I was their age. I don't know.
Well, I've been honest with him. I can remember growing up on the farm when I was 11, 12 years old, some of the things I did.
Yeah.
You know, and I got on him. But I've been honest with you. I told him, yeah, I did those when I was your age, but that doesn't make him right.
That doesn't make him right. That's right. Hey, Dennis. Did you see that your boss is one of the most powerful women in Nevada?
I work with her. I can attest to that.
She's there's a Nevada Business Magazine, I think it is. It's the recent Nevada Economy.
Okay.
It's out. I think there are, they highlight 20 people. Not bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have a teaser about that.
I'll bring a copy of it if I can. I'll shoot a magazine over to you. She probably got it.
Warrior Queen.
Merry Christmas, Dennis.
Merry Christmas, all of you.
Patrick, is Russ coming?
Russ is on his way, but he said he's going to be late.
Okay, 15 minutes.
He's here as soon as he
could. Okay. He said he was going to be 15 minutes late, but that sort of depends upon when the meeting starts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think we've got a quorum anyway, as long as we
vote.
We've got a quorum.
Yeah,
good. Are everybody ready? I call to order the December 14th, 2011 Regional Transportation Commission Carson City meeting. The Carson City Regional Transportation Commission is pleased to make reasonable accommodation for members of the public that are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission staff in writing, 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701. Or ppittinger at carson.org, or call Patrick Pittinger, 775-887-2355, as soon as possible. Requests are required prior to 12 p.m. on December 12, 2011, or, as the previous chairman said, 3 days prior to the meeting. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact the RTC staff at 775-887-2355. Kathy, would you please do a roll call and determination of quorum?
Chairperson Aldean, Vice Chairperson Mallory.
Here.
Commissioner Carpenter, Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Kathy. Members of the public.
Mr. Chairman, I think that Member Aldean is at a Tahoe Regional Planning Agency meeting today.
Yes. Okay. She's excused then, is that correct?
I think that's what you're going to do. And I think that.
She always uses?
Yeah. Member Carpenter, I think, might be a little late, but we're going to go ahead and start anyway. But I guess this is a church call, but
okay. Thank you, Mayor. Item B, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the RTC may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the RTC. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item on the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody here that wishes to address this board under the public comment? Seeing none, we'll move to item C, approval of minutes.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes of November 9, 2011.
I second that.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Any member comments?
No.
Motion carries. Item D, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. RTC may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and RTC may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Patrick, are there any?
No, sir.
Item E, disclosures. Any member of the commission that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the commission. Is there any?
No.
Seeing none, we'll move on to item F, public meeting items. F1, information regarding traffic concerns on Edmonds Drive.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an informational update on an issue that has previously been before the Regional Transportation Commission, and that is concerns expressed by a couple residents on Edmonds Drive regarding traffic speeds. We previously had done traffic counts in July. At the end of July, we did counts, reported those to this body. As we indicated we would, following the reopening of Clearview Drive with the bridge construction undertaken by the Nevada Department of Transportation, we redid the counts using the exact same methodology and locations as we had done previously. What we found with those results, the counts were done between November 8th and November 15th. We did see some changes in traffic volumes, which we expected because obviously Clearview Drive opened. Out of the six count stations, three northbound and three southbound, half of them were increased volume, half of them were decreased volume, so it was a mixed bag. Regarding the speed, which was the concern, the two northern locations, both northbound and southbound, located between near Damon and Damon and Deanne, those speeds were both decreased. Approximately the 85th percentile speeds decreased between 3.5 to 4.5 miles per hour at the south end of the area, south of Bennett. The speed also decreased about 2.5 miles an hour for the 85th percentile, both northbound and southbound. However, in the central section between Coontz and Clearview, the southbound speeds were virtually unchanged from previous measurements, and northbound actually increased. I will note that the volume increased northbound north of the Clearview Bridge, and the speed increased northbound north of the Clearview Bridge, which is we believe related to the opening of that facility. I have been in further contact with the Sheriff's Office. They have not only continue their efforts, they have increased them. They have continued to make additional stops during this period. Additional citations have been issued. I can tell you that in October, November, one of the interesting points to share with us is that the average speed of those of the people being issued citations in this area was about 51 miles per hour, so about 16 miles over the speed limit. So the sheriff is continuing his efforts, and I did transmit this information to the resident who had expressed his concern previously, and I also have followed up on the radar trailer, which last week we thought was finally done with the repairs, and then unfortunately quickly encountered a different problem, which is now being addressed. But I can report that it hasn't been sent to any faraway destination this time to be repaired, so we believe it'll be back relatively shortly. That concludes my report, and I'll happy to answer. Oh, and one last thing. The sheriff has offered to have an agenda item at our next meeting in January regarding traffic enforcement in general and the activities of his deputies regarding speeding in the city.
Thank you, Mr. Pittenger. Before I take member comments, we'd like to recognize Russ Carpenter. His last official meeting with the RTC is moving on to other things. And for the record, he was only 5 minutes late, not 15, which the email said. So now we'll take member comments. Do any of the members have any questions of Mr. Pittenger?
I have one. Patrick, it's marginally good news, I think, on Edmonds. I understand. You know, I'm also getting, I mean, you probably are as well, I'm getting complaints about speeding on Mountain Street between Winnie and Nye. The speed limit there is 25, and I've had one, you know, more than a couple residents say, you know, do what we can to take a look there. So you might keep that in mind. And I was also going to ask if, you know, on the speed trailer, you know, gives the speed that you're traveling. I noticed that some speed signs will actually tell you to slow down. Can we program it into the?
This is an informational update on an issue that has previously been before the Regional Transportation Commission, and that is concerns expressed by a resident, a couple residents on Edmonds Drive regarding traffic speeds. We previously had done traffic counts in July. At the end of July, we did counts, reported those to this body. As we indicated we would, following the reopening of Clearview Drive with the bridge construction undertaken by the Nevada Department of Transportation, we redid the counts using the exact same methodology and locations as we had done previously. What we found with those results, the counts were done between November 8th and November 15th. We did see some changes in traffic volumes, which we expected because obviously Clearview Drive opened. Out of the six count stations, three northbound and three southbound, half of them were increased volume, half of them were decreased volume, so it was a mixed bag. Regarding the speed, which was the concern, the two northern locations, both northbound and southbound, located between near Damon and Damon and Deanne, those speeds were both decreased. Approximately the 85th percentile speeds decreased between 3.5 to 4.5 miles per hour at the south end of the area, south of Bennett. The speed also decreased about 2.5 miles an hour for the 85th percentile, both northbound and southbound. However, in the central section between Coontz and Clearview, the southbound speeds were virtually unchanged from previous measurements, and northbound actually increased. I will note that the volume increased northbound north of the Clearview Bridge, and the speed increased northbound north of the Clearview Bridge, which is, we believe, related to the opening of that facility. I have been in further contact with the Sheriff's Office. They have not only continued their efforts, they have increased them. They have continued to make additional stops during this period. Additional citations have been issued. I can tell you that in October, November, one of the interesting points to share with us is that the average speed of those of the people being issued citations in this area was still about 51 miles per hour, so about 16 miles over the speed limit. So the sheriff is continuing his efforts, and I did transmit this information to the resident who had expressed his concern previously. And I also have followed up on the radar trailer, which last week we thought was finally done with the repairs, and then unfortunately quickly encountered a different problem, which is now being addressed. But I can report that it hasn't been sent to any faraway destination this time to be repaired, so we believe it'll be back relatively shortly. That concludes my report, and I'll happy to answer. Oh, and one last thing. The sheriff has offered to have an agenda item at our next meeting in January regarding traffic enforcement in general and the activities of his deputies regarding speeding in the city.
Thank you, Mr. Pittenger. Before I take member comments, we'd like to recognize Russ Carpenter. His last official meeting with the RTC is moving on to other things. And for the record, he was only 5 minutes late, not 15, which the email said. So now we'll take member comments. Do any of the members have any questions of Mr. Pittenger?
I have one. Patrick, it's marginally good news, I think, on Edmonds. I understand. You know, I'm also getting, I mean, you probably are as well, I'm getting complaints about speeding on Mountain Street between Winnie and Nye. The speed limit there is 25, and I've had one, you know, more than a couple residents say, you know, do what we can to take a look there. So you might keep that in mind. And I was also going to ask if, you know, on the speed trailer, you know, give us the speed that you're traveling. I noticed that some speed signs will actually tell you to slow down. Can we program it into the speed trailer that says, hey, look, if you're over the speed limit, it tells you to slow down?
I'm going to have to find out what the capabilities are in that regard. It is an older piece of equipment. You are correct. The newer radar signs that we've installed are extremely flexible in how they can be programmed regarding it, the frequency of the flashing or when they at what point it triggers a slowdown message.
Right.
So you're correct about the newer signs, and I'm going to have to find out about what the capabilities are of the trailer.
Thank you. All right.
Any other member comments? Any comments from anybody in the audience? Seeing none, anybody have any? Seeing none, that being this an informational only item, we will move on to the next item, which is F2. Information regarding preliminary design report for the non-motorized user bridge crossing at Valley View Drive. Dan?
Thank you, Commissioner Mailer. Dan Dengis, Senior Transportation Planner, for the record. As you noted, this is an information item regarding your preliminary design report for the non-motorized user bridge crossing at Valley View Drive. This report was developed out of the Parks and Recreation Department. Initially, this kind of came about as a desire expressed by the Open Space Advisory Committee to maintain access to the Prison Hill Recreation Area. As you are all aware, the freeway running kind of parallel to Edmonds goes below grade there now and has essentially cut off at Valley View Drive, kind of a popular route, particularly for equestrian users and pedestrians and even mountain bikers who like to access Prison Hill to recreate. So basically, Parks and Recreation Department hired Loomis and Associates to develop a preliminary report. And basically, they evaluated three different types of bridge structures. And I won't go into detail about all of them, but kind of the preferred alternative out of those three structures was a precast concrete bridge. And that was selected for a variety of reasons, but primarily, I'll just read real quickly what the advantages of that bridge over the other two were. A big issue was the cost. This particular design had the lowest cost. There was a minimal vibration to it, which in meeting previously with equestrian groups, that was a concern that the horses might scare easily if there's a lot of vibration on a bridge. So this particular design of bridge kind of minimized that vibration. The likelihood due to funding of the timing when it could be constructed would most likely occur after the freeway was already, you know, constructed. So this had pretty much the minimal impact on any kind of traffic control measures that would be required to construct it. Minimal maintenance and the estimated time frame, if this project were to move forward, would be about 9 months for completion. So, and just a little bit about the bridge itself. You should have in your supporting material a few different views of it, but basically we determined the best design would kind of be to have the center portion of the bridge for equestrian users. The bridge would look similar in appearance to some of the other ones, and that is constructed like over Coots Lane and Clearview. And so you'd have the chain link fence along the sides. And by providing that kind of path down the middle for the horses, you eliminate any kind of, you know, concern with, you know, basically the riders hitting their heads on the fences if the horse were to buck or something like that. And as far as the surface, it'd be like a granular surface. This is something the equestrian community felt was more natural and kind of preferred by the horses. I guess, you know, any kind of asphalt service can be a bit slick at times. And so they expressed this surface for, you know, the preferred path for the horses. On the sides, on either side, would be pathways for pedestrians and cyclists.
Speed trailer that says, hey, look, if you're, you know, if you're over the speed limit, it tells you slow down.
I'm going to have to find out what the capabilities are in that regard. It is an older piece of equipment. You are correct. The newer radar signs that we've installed are extremely flexible in how they can be programmed regarding it, the frequency of the flashing or when they at what point it triggers a slowdown message.
Right.
So you're correct about the newer signs, and I'm going to have to find out about what the capabilities are of the trailer.
Thank you. All right.
Any other member comments? Any comments from anybody in the audience? Seeing none, anybody have any? Seeing none, that being this an informational only item, we will move on to the next item, which is F2. Information regarding preliminary design report for the non-motorized user bridge crossing at Valley View Drive. Dan?
Thank you, Commissioner Mailer. Dan Dengis, Senior Transportation Planner, for the record. As you noted, this is an information item regarding your preliminary design report for the non-motorized user bridge crossing at Valley View Drive. This report was developed out of the Parks and Recreation Department. Initially, this kind of came about as a desire expressed by the Open Space Advisory Committee to maintain access to the Prison Hill Recreation Area. As you are all aware, the freeway running kind of parallel to Edmonds goes below grade there now and has essentially cut off at Valley View Drive, kind of a popular route, particularly for equestrian users and pedestrians and even mountain bikers who like to access Prison Hill to recreate. So basically, Parks and Recreation Department hired Loomis and Associates to develop a preliminary report, and basically they evaluated three different types of bridge structures, and I won't go into detail about all of them, but kind of the preferred alternative out of those three structures was a precast concrete bridge, and that was selected for a variety of reasons, but primarily, I'll just read real quickly what the advantages of that bridge over the other two were. A big issue was the cost. This particular design had the lowest cost. There was a minimal vibration to it, which in meeting previously with equestrian groups, that was a concern that the horses might scare easily if there's a lot of vibration on a bridge. So this particular design of bridge kind of minimized that vibration. The likelihood due to funding of the timing when it could be constructed would most likely occur after the freeway was already, you know, constructed. So this had pretty much the minimal impact on any kind of traffic control measures that would be required to construct it. Minimal maintenance and the estimated time frame, if this project were to move forward, would be about 9 months for completion. So, and just a little bit about the bridge itself. You should have in your supporting material a few different views of it, but basically we determined the best design would kind of be to have the center portion of the bridge for equestrian users. The bridge would look similar in appearance to some of the other ones, and that is constructed like over Coots Lane and Clearview. And so you'd have the chain link fence along the sides. And by providing that kind of path down the middle for the horses, you eliminate any kind of, you know, concern with, you know, basically the riders hitting their heads on the fences if the horse were to buck or something like that. And as far as the surface, it'd be like a granular surface. This is something the equestrian community felt was more natural and kind of preferred by the horses. I guess, you know, any kind of asphalt surface can be a bit slick at times. And so they expressed this surface for, you know, the preferred path for the horses. On the sides, on either side, would be pathways for pedestrians and cyclists. And these would be more traditional asphalt paved. They'd be directional, so like you would going down any roadway. So on, you know, the right side, you'd be going toward Prison Hill if you're facing that direction, and vice versa. And basically, the cost. There was a 20% contingency just because we didn't know when funding might become available, but we were looking at about $2.5 million for the cost of the structure. Myself and Parks and Recreation staff did meet with NDOT on a few occasions and have talked with them about just doing a couple of things in the design of the freeway that would make it easier to construct the bridge, you know, if the funding were to come available, such as moving an overhead sign. And that was the biggest one. Just some small accommodations that they're willing to consider. This is, like I said, just an information item. It was brought forward to both the Open Space Advisory Committee and the Parks and Recreation Commission for review, and they did approve of the preliminary design. If you are interested in looking at the full report, I don't know if it's up on the Parks and Recreation website yet, but certainly any member of the commission or general public could feel free to contact me, and I could get them at least an electronic copy of that. And with that, I'm willing to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Dan. Member Carpenter?
Where's the funding going to come from?
That is the big unknown. The report was funded with was $50,000 approximately. Was funded with Question 18 quality of life money. It's approved by the Board of Supervisors, but the funding to actually construct the bridge is a big unknown at this point. You know, we're looking toward any grant opportunities. It's a big number for any particular grant, but we've also suggested, you know, I know it's a kind of a bad word for some people, but earmarks, kind of pointed to what was done with, you know, what GROW did with as far as the freeway landscaping. So that's certainly another avenue if the equestrian community can kind of, you know, galvanize and maybe make a grassroots pitch to get funding for this. That would be another avenue potentially. So, but unfortunately, there's no specific source identified at this point.
Any other member comments? I have three.
Okay.
When you looked into the issue of horses crossing the freeway, did you look into the costs of a square box culvert underneath the freeway?
No, that is one option we did not explore.
To see whether it would cost $2.7 million or perhaps less?
Yeah. You know what, but that is one option that was not even considered, I can say.
The second question I have then for you, Dan, is, or anybody that may want to answer this, is how many users a day are estimated to use this facility, or a year or a month? I mean, just a number.
I don't have a rough estimate. I'll note that Roger Mullendorf, Director for Parks and Recreation here, not to put him on the spot, but he certainly has more of a history with these groups. And Roger, if you have any estimates, if you want to jump in.
Dan told me I didn't have to say a word, but when the questions got tough, boy.
There you are, right, Roger. You show up when you're on at the podium.
Roger, I wasn't going to let you sit back there.
I knew that. For the record, Roger Mullendorf, Parks and Recreation Director. Those are good questions. To answer your first question about the box culvert underneath the freeway, I don't believe that was discussed in any, you know, in any length. I think that it was sort of discussed very briefly, and I if I remember right, the equestrians felt like that the horses would be reluctant to use that type of facility. You know, I've got minimal experience with horses, even though I grew up in Nebraska and Wyoming, believe it or not. But we all know that horses can be rather skitterish animals, and this goes back to that transfers of vibrations on the over, you know, on the bridge going over the freeway. In terms of numbers of users, that is a number that we have not come up with. We do know that.
And these would be more traditional asphalt paved. They'd be directional, so like you would going down any roadway. So on, you know, the right side, you'd be going toward Prison Hill if you're facing that direction, and vice versa. And basically, the costs. There was a 20% contingency just because we didn't know when funding might become available, but we were looking at about $2.5 million for the cost of this structure. Myself and Parks and Recreation staff did meet with NDOT on a few occasions and have talked with them about just doing a couple of things in the design of the freeway that would make it easier to construct the bridge, you know, if the funding were to come available, such as moving an overhead sign. And that was the biggest one. Just some small accommodations that they're willing to consider. This is, like I said, just an information item. It was brought forward to both the Open Space Advisory Committee and the Parks and Recreation Commission for review, and they did approve of the preliminary design. If you are interested in looking at the full report, I don't know if it's up on the Parks and Recreation website yet, but certainly any member of the commission or general public could feel free to contact me, and I could get them at least an electronic copy of that. And with that, I'm willing to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Dan. Member Carpenter?
Where's the funding going to come from?
That is the big unknown. The report was funded with, was $50,000 approximately, was funded with Question 18, quality of life money. It's approved by the Board of Supervisors. But the funding to actually construct the bridge is a big unknown at this point. You know, we're looking toward any grant opportunities. It's a big number for any particular grant. But we've also suggested, you know, I know it's a kind of a bad word for some people, but earmarks, kind of pointed to what was done with, you know, what GROW did with as far as the freeway landscaping. So that's certainly another avenue you know, the equestrian community can kind of, you know, galvanize and maybe make a grassroots pitch to get funding for this. That would be another avenue potentially. So, but unfortunately, there's no specific source identified at this point.
Any other member comments? I have three.
Okay.
When you looked into the issue of horses crossing the freeway, did you look into the costs of a square box culvert underneath the freeway?
No, that is one option we did not
explore. To see whether it would cost $2.7 million or perhaps less?
Yeah. You know what? That is one option that was not even considered, I can say.
The second question I have then for you, Dan, is, or anybody that may want to answer this, is how many users a day are estimated to use this facility, or a year or a month? I mean, just a number.
I don't have a rough estimate. I'll note that Roger Mullendorf, Director for Parks and Recreation here, not to put him on the spot, but he certainly has more of a history with these groups. And Roger, if you have any estimates, if you want to jump in.
Dan told me I didn't have to say a word, but when the questions got tough, boy.
There you are, right, Roger. You show up when you're on at the podium.
Roger, I wasn't going to let you sit back there.
I knew that. For the record, Roger Mullendorf, Parks and Recreation Director. Those are good questions. To answer your first question about the box culvert underneath the freeway, I don't believe that was discussed at any, you know, in any length. I think that it was sort of discussed very briefly, and I if I remember right, the equestrians felt like that the horses would be reluctant to use that type of facility. You know, I've got minimal experience with horses, even though I grew up in Nebraska and Wyoming, believe it or not. But we all know that horses can be rather skitterish animals, and this goes back to that transfers of vibrations on the over, you know, on the bridge going over the freeway. In terms of numbers of users, that is a number that we have not come up with. We do know that that section of town, the southern part of town, happens to be an area that quite a few people have acreage, one or more acres, and there's quite a few horse owners in that area of town. And that has been a traditional route for equestrian users to access Prison Hill and to ride their horses in that area. But we don't have an estimated number.
My third question is, how much more in terms of costs would it cost to have the bridge that actually would carry cars over it as well? And what I'm thinking about is, you have your horse trailer behind your pickup truck, and you drive it over there to Prison Hill, and then you take your horses out and do whatever you do with the horses.
Well, you know, I think they could, if that's the, you know, the method that a lot of the equestrians are going to use, they could probably use the existing bridges that span the freeway at that point. Most of the use in that area by equestrians is actually riding from their homes to the Prison Hill area and back, and not actually trailering their horses.
Because, am I correct in this assumption, the mountain bikers and the pedestrians could use any one of the bridges?
They could. That's true.
This is mostly for horse folks.
It's mostly for horse folks. It would represent, if funded and developed, it would represent the only crossing that would be designed specifically for equestrian use.
Thank you. Any other member comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Member Carpenter?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have some experience hiking on Prison Hill. Not this year so much, but last couple of years. And many day would go by without seeing nary a horse. And then you'd see maybe a couple. And then many days would go by and see no horses whatsoever. But, of course, I wasn't there all day.
Sure.
But just, you know, for an hour or so at a time. But I didn't see that the horses used that, or the equestrians didn't use that all that often.
Yeah.
More mountain bikers and hikers.
I think I'd have to agree with you. I believe you all understand that the Prison Hill area is not property of Carson City at this point. We will be obtaining that property through the lands bill. And so our department has not really spent a lot of time monitoring the types of use on that, you know, in that area. And I doubt really that the Bureau of Land Management has as well. But what I can tell you is that the request for this type of facility came from the equestrian community, and they felt that it was an important enough, you know, item for their chosen type of recreation that they brought to the Open Space Advisory Committee.
Any other member comments? I have one more that kind of a follow-up of Mr. Carpenter's is, if vibration affects the skittishness of horses, what about large diesel trucks accelerating or decelerating underneath the bridge?
Well, that'd be a concern. In fact, I think, Dan, if I remember right, there was some engineering involved in trying to buffer in some of the sound, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Of vehicles passing underneath that bridge as well. But
thank you.
You know, horses are a strange animal. I've seen people ride horses over train trestles, and they seem to do absolutely fine there, but you know, you never know what a horse is going to do.
There's a number of these equestrian bridges down in Las Vegas over the freeway. I think there's three of them that have been designed that are in use down there. So it does work. I mean, the horses do it.
Thank you. Any comments from the audience? Anybody? Any other member comments? Well, thank you, Roger. Thank you,
thank
Dan.
You.
May I just add one thing? And I just want to remind you that I think it was about 6 months ago we finished a freeway multi-use path study. where we studied different alignments for how to continue the path in the future along there. And one of the things that was concluded from that was that it would be very difficult. There isn't one side of the freeway that is golden and has an easy path for a future path. And it was, and the way we looked at it, it was much more conducive to having some point at which to cross the freeway, because it was more conducive to having a path on the west side of the freeway on that north-south alignment, but it was better to have a path.
That section of town, the southern part of town, happens to be an area that quite a few people have acreage, one or more acres, and there's quite a few horse owners in that area of town. And that has been a traditional route for equestrian users to access Prison Hill and to ride their horses in that area. But we don't have an estimated number.
My third question is, how much more in terms of costs would it cost to have the bridge that actually would carry cars over it as well? And what I'm thinking about is, you have your horse trailer behind your pickup truck, and you drive it over there to Prison Hill, and then you take your horses out and do whatever you do with the horses.
Well, you know, I think they could, if that's the, you know, the method that a lot of the equestrians are going to use, they could probably use the existing bridges that span the freeway at that point. Most of the use in that area by equestrians is actually riding from their homes to the Prison Hill area and back, and not actually trailering their horses.
Because am I correct in this assumption, the mountain bikers and the pedestrians could use any one of the bridges?
They could. That's true.
This is mostly for horse folks.
It's mostly for horse folks. It would represent, if funded and developed, it would represent the only crossing that would be designed specifically for equestrian use.
Thank you. Any other member comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Member Carpenter?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have some experience hiking on Prison Hill. Not this year so much, but last couple of years. And many day would go by without seeing nary a horse. And then you'd see maybe a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then many days would go by and see no horses whatsoever. But, of course, I wasn't there all day.
Sure.
But just, you know, for an hour or so at a time. But I didn't see that the horses used that, or the equestrians didn't use that all that often.
Yeah.
More mountain bikers and hikers.
I think I'd have to agree with you. I believe you all understand that the Prison Hill area is not property of Carson City at this point. We will be obtaining that property through the lands bill. And so our department has not really spent a lot of time monitoring the types of use on that, you know, in that area. And I doubt really that the Bureau of Land Management has as well. But what I can tell you is that the request for this type of facility came from the equestrian community, and they felt that it was an important enough, you know, item for their chosen type of recreation that they brought to the Open Space Advisory Committee.
Any other member comments? I have one more that kind of a follow-up of Mr. Carpenter's is, if vibration affects the skittishness of horses, what about large diesel trucks accelerating or decelerating underneath the bridge?
Well, that'd be a concern. In fact, I think, Dan, if I remember right, there was some engineering involved in trying to buffer in some of the sound, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Of vehicles passing underneath that bridge as well. But
thank you.
You know, horses are a strange animal. I've seen people ride horses over train trestles, and they seem to do absolutely fine there, but you know, you never know what a horse is going to do.
There's a number of these equestrian bridges down in Las Vegas over the freeway. I think there's three of them that have been designed and are in use down there. So it does work. I mean, the horses do it.
Thank you. Any comments from the audience? Anybody? Any other member comments? Well, thank you, Roger. Thank you,
thank
Dan.
Thank you.
May I just add one thing? And I just want to remind you that I think it was about 6 months ago we finished a freeway multi-use path study, where we studied different alignments for how to continue the path in the future along there. And one of the things that was concluded from that was that it would be very difficult. There isn't one side of the freeway that is golden and has an easy path for a future path. And it was, and the way we looked at it, it was much more conducive to having some point at which to cross the freeway, because it was more conducive to having a path on the west side of the freeway on that north-south alignment, but it was better to have a path on the south side of the freeway as you're heading east-west, like west of the Edmonds Sports Complex. So should this facility ever be funded, it could end up being a very important link in a future multi-use path along the freeway that would be used by all users. Just wanted to add that.
Excellent point. This is an informational item, so if there's no other member comments or comments from the audience, we'll move on to F3. This is regarding an approved amendment to the Carson City Municipal Code to allow advertising on city bus shelters. Ken, good to see you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, good to be with you. Ken Smithson, Transit Coordinator. And we wanted to let you know that we've successfully worked over several months with the Planning Division, Planning Commission, and the Board of Supervisors to amend the city's sign ordinance to allow advertising on passenger shelters. And currently we are working with the Nevada Appeal, our partner in bus advertising, to amend the contract to allow advertising on shelters as well with them, so that they would manage that part of the program for us. We hope to bring a copy of the new sign ordinance for your perusal at the next meeting, and also the amendment to the contract with the appeal.
Thank you. Thank you. Any member comments? Any comments from anybody in the audience? Well, Ken, this is an informational item only, and if you're completed, we'll move on. Thank you very much. Good job. F4.
You know, look, I just say Mayor? One thing. While Ken's up there, let me just say, and I know this is kind of on topic and off topic, but I just had somebody in the mayor's office a couple of days ago who was very pleased with your work, Ken, and Patrick's work. I just want to let you know some people are looking at over your shoulders, and they found you did a good job.
Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Ken, are you also going to address F4?
I will.
Excellent. This is an action item, and we're going to approve, hopefully, the change to the Jack Assist ADA complementary paratransit policies and procedures regarding the transportation of a wheelchair or mobility device. Ken?
We received direction from the U.S. Department of Transportation to revise our ADA policies regarding transportation of wheelchairs and persons using wheelchairs. Basically, we're moving away from a definition of size and weight and simply saying that if the vehicle will accommodate the wheelchair, that we will carry it. And we wanted to have local authority behind this as well in case we need to enforce it in the future.
That's it?
Yes.
Any member comments? My understanding of this is if the wheelchair fits and it's within the weight limits with the rider on it, it goes on the bus.
Yes.
As long as there's space in the bus.
If the lift can accommodate the chair, it will take the person, yes.
Excellent.
So I just don't strap them on the side of the bus.
Not a good idea.
Are there wheelchairs too heavy for the buses we have?
Yes.
There are. And are they identified so that the people don't show up at the bus stop and realize they're not going to get on?
It's kind of a challenging operational difficulty that we have. Our drivers know some of these folks. They suspect that the weight exceeds what the lift can provide, and so we need to have a basis to deal with that.
The mayor is asking, what is the weight?
Typically, on one of our smaller vehicles, we can lift 600 pounds.
That's what I was going to ask.
And a typical electric wheelchair weighs approximately how much?
We have customers that combined with their weight and the weight of the chair, 400 pounds, which our lift can accommodate. But we have other customers that exceed the 600 pounds.
Thank you. Any other member comments? Anybody in the audience care to offer a comment on this? Questions? This is an action item. Do I hear a motion?
Yes, I will give
the last motion of the meeting.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the change to the Jack Assist ADA complementary paratransit policies and procedures regarding the transportation of a wheelchair or mobility device.
Second?
Second.
Second? Any comments on the motion? We ready?
Ready.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. G1.
Also, the freeway as you're heading east-west, like west of the Evans Sports Complex. So should this facility ever be funded, it could end up being a very important link in a future multi-use path along the freeway that would be used by all users. Just wanted to add that.
Excellent point. This is an informational item, so if there's no other member comments or comments from the audience, we'll move on to F3. This is regarding an approved amendment to the Carson City Municipal Code to allow advertising on city bus shelters. Ken, good to see you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, good to be with you. Ken Smithson, Transit Coordinator. And we wanted to let you know that we've successfully worked over several months with the Planning Division, Planning Commission, and the Board of Supervisors to amend the city's sign ordinance to allow advertising on passenger shelters. And currently, we are working with the Nevada Appeal, our partner in bus advertising, to amend the contract to allow advertising on shelters as well with them so that they would manage that part of the program for us. We hope to bring a copy of the new sign ordinance for your perusal at the next meeting and also the amendment to the contract with the appeal.
Thank you. Thank you. Any member comments? Any comments from anybody in the audience? Well, Ken, this is an informational item only, and if you're completed, we'll move on. Thank you very much. Good job. F4.
You know, look, I just want to say one thing. While Ken's up there, let me just say, and I know this is kind of on topic and off topic, but I just had somebody in the mayor's office a couple of days ago who was very pleased with your work, Ken, and Patrick's work. I just want to let you know, some people are looking at over your shoulders, and they found you did a good job.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ken, are you also going to address F4?
I will.
Excellent. This is an action item, and we're going to approve, hopefully, the change to the Jack Assist ADA complementary paratransit policies and procedures regarding the transportation of a wheelchair or mobility device. Ken?
We received direction from the U.S. Department of Transportation to revise our ADA policies regarding transportation of wheelchairs and persons using wheelchairs. Basically, we're moving away from a definition of size and weight and simply saying that if the vehicle will accommodate the wheelchair, that we will carry it. And we wanted to have local authority behind this as well in case we need to enforce it in the future.
That's it?
Yes.
Any member comments? My understanding of this is if the wheelchair fits and it's within the weight limits with the rider on it, it goes on the bus.
Yes.
As long as there's space in the bus.
If the lift can accommodate the chair, we'll take the person, yes.
Excellent.
So I just don't strap them on the side of the bus.
Not a good idea.
Are there wheelchairs too heavy for the buses we have?
Yes.
There are. And are they identified so that the people don't show up at the bus stop and realize they're not going to get on?
It's kind of a challenging operational difficulty that we have. Our drivers know some of these folks. They suspect that the weight exceeds what the lift can provide, and so we need to have a basis to deal with that.
The mayor is asking, what is the weight?
Typically, on one of our smaller vehicles, we can lift 600 pounds.
That's what I was going to ask.
And a typical electric wheelchair weighs approximately how much?
We have customers that combined with their weight and the weight of the chair, 400 pounds, which our lift can accommodate. But we have other customers that exceed the 600 pounds.
Thank you. Any other member comments? Anybody in the audience care to offer a comment on this? Questions? This is an action item. Do I hear a motion?
Yes, I will be
the last motion of the meeting. Mr. Chair, I move to approve the change to the Jack Assist ADA complementary paratransit policies and procedures regarding the transportation of a wheelchair or mobility device.
Second?
Second.
Second. Any comments on the motion? We ready?
Ready.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. G1. Patrick, is this you?
If you wish, we provided the street operations report as we do on a monthly basis, and we're happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any member comments or questions on the G1? Any comments or questions from anybody in the audience on G1? G2, proposed status report. Patrick, is this you?
Darren.
This is me. It's kind of becoming that time of year where there's not a whole lot going on out there regarding construction. Two of our projects that continue to go and will go through the winter are the Carson City Freeway landscaping project, and they're doing what they can under the circumstances with weather, and then the gateway signs, the three of those, and that's underway and moving along nicely. So if there's any questions on those, I'd be happy to answer them. That's about all we have going this time of year.
Any member comments?
I'll just ask a question. I'm sorry, Charles. Where's the for the public? Where's the funding coming from for the gateway signage?
The gateway signage was a federally funded or a state funded grant for those signs, and for the majority of it, some of it is being funded by RTC.
Member Desjardins, were you done here?
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I just want to know some particulars, but that's all right. I mean, I have it.
Go ahead.
You don't know the exact split of the numbers?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was going to prepare the grant application. The fund, there are state funds. It's the state community matching program. It's actually a 50-50 split in this case, and the amount of state funds available are $210,500. And we've already begun to draw on those funds and be reimbursed.
Thank you.
Member Desjardins?
We talked about this, Darren, earlier. Maybe we want to talk a little bit about the Fifth Street problem. So the, because although it's not in here, I'm sure some of the public will want to know what's going on.
The Fifth Street, specifically at the roundabout there with Fairview, we are wrapping up our waterline project there along the east side of the city. And what's going on is we've been coming down on the east side of Fairview, but at some point we have to get across Fairview and tie into the line, which is on the other side of the roundabout, and it's on the west side of Fairview. So we're at that point now where we're diagonally kind of crossing right there at the roundabout to get through there, putting in 24-inch pipes. So there is an impact to the public. We're doing the best we can to try and work around the school schedule specifically, but there will be there definitely will be impact and delays to the public moving through that area. They're kind of preliminary starting the work right now as today and through this week. It'll really start next week, the heavy underground type work, but they're going to try and get through there as short as possible, and maybe 3 days is what they're thinking they can be through it next week and then wrap it back up. So.
Thank you, Darren. Any other member comments? Comments from anybody in the audience? G3. Patrick, is this you? Future agenda?
Absolutely. We're still working on a couple of contract closeouts to bring before you. We expect to have an item on Sierra Vista Lane, which is a discussion of ownership and maintenance responsibility, about a one-mile section. We hope to have an amendment to the Roop Street Enhancement project, an addition of $100,000 of funds from the Nevada Department of Transportation, which was just formally approved in the last week or so. As Mr. Smithson mentioned, we're hoping also have a an amendment to our agreement with Nevada Appeal on advertising bus shelters, and the sheriff has asked for an agenda item at the next meeting regarding traffic enforcement activities and their enforcement of speeding in the city.
Thank you, Patrick. Any member comments? Comments from anybody in the audience? Item H, commission comments. I've got to ask Russ, you're going to come to the January meeting?
Yes.
Patrick, is this you?
If you wish, we provided the street operations report as we do on a monthly basis, and we're happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any member comments or questions on the G1? Any comments or questions from anybody in the audience on G1? G2, proposed status report. Patrick, is this you?
Darren.
This is me. It's kind of becoming that time of year where there's not a whole lot going on out there regarding construction. Two of our projects that continue to go and will go through the winter are the Carson City Freeway landscaping project, and they're doing what they can under the circumstances with weather, and then the gateway signs, the three of those, and that's underway and moving along nicely. So if there's any questions on those, I'd be happy to answer them. That's about all we have going this time of year.
Any member comments?
I'll just ask a question. I'm sorry, Charles. Where's the for the public? Where's the funding coming from for the gateway signage?
The gateway signage was a federally funded or a state funded grant for those signs, and for the majority of it, some of it is being funded by RTC.
Member Disjardins, were you done here?
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I just want to know some particulars, but that's all right. I mean, I have it.
Go ahead.
You don't know the exact split of the numbers?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was going to prepare the grant application. The fund, there are state funds. It's the state community matching program. It's actually a 50-50 split in this case, and the amount of state funds available are $210,500. And we've already begun to draw on those funds and be reimbursed.
Thank you.
Member Disjardins?
We talked about this, Darren, earlier. Maybe we want to talk a little bit about the Fifth Street problem. So the, because although it's not in here, I'm sure some of the public will want to know what's going on.
The Fifth Street, specifically at the roundabout there with Fairview, we are wrapping up our waterline project there along the east side of the city. And what's going on is we've been coming down on the east side of Fairview, but at some point we have to get across Fairview and tie into the line, which is on the other side of the roundabout, and it's on the west side of Fairview. So we're at that point now where we're diagonally kind of crossing right there at the roundabout to get through there, putting in 24-inch pipes. So there is an impact to the public. We're doing the best we can to try and work around the school schedule specifically, but there will be there definitely will be impact and delays to the public moving through that area. They're kind of preliminary starting the work right now, as today and through this week. It'll really start next week, the heavy underground type work, but they're going to try and get through there as short as possible, and maybe 3 days is what they're thinking they could be through it next week and then wrap it back up. So.
Thank you, Darren. Any other member comments? Comments from anybody in the audience? G3. Patrick, is this you? Future agenda?
Absolutely. We're still working on a couple of contract closeouts to bring before you. We expect to have an item on Sierra Vista Lane, which is a discussion of ownership and maintenance responsibility, but a one-mile section. We hope to have a an amendment to the Roof Street Enhancement Project, an addition of $100,000 of funds from the Nevada Department of Transportation, which was just formally approved in the last week or so. As Mr. Smithson mentioned, we're hoping also have a an amendment to our agreement with Nevada Appeal on advertising bus shelters. And the sheriff has asked for an agenda item at the next meeting regarding traffic enforcement activities and their enforcement of speeding in the city.
Thank you, Patrick. Any member comments? Comments from anybody in the audience? Item H, commission comments. I've got to ask Russ, you're going to come to the January meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
I will be here.
Excellent. And I think at the January meeting, there'll be appreciation for the time that you serve. And since you've been here longer than me, I don't really know how long that is.
5 years.
5 years. Ooh. Excellent. Excellent.
Commissioner Mallory?
Yes, sir.
If I may, the Board of Supervisors was scheduled to look at the appointments at tomorrow's meeting, which looks like it will be rescheduled. So pending the outcome of when those appointments take place, I'm not so subtly saying that Commissioners Desjardins and Carpenter may be asked to serve for an additional meeting depending upon the scheduling of that appointment. So I'm glad that Mr. Carpenter was planning to attend.
Thank you, Patrick.
Could be.
Any other commission comments? Anybody? Last item is public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the RTC may approach the podium and speak on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item and allowable under the open meeting law. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there any? Is there anybody left in the audience? I don't see, yes, I do. Item J, adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
We're adjourned.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Pray for snow.
Or something.
yeah.